Can we say praise the Lord?
We trying to make some music so y'all can get some movement up there. Amen. Church is a lively place. How many of y'all was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord? Church is a lively place. Amen. I know you've been dealing with the work all week long and the toils of life. Amen. Nothing like coming to church to find a solace. Amen. To find a comforter. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 30. How many know that he's been better than that?
Better than that.
Can I get a witness? How many know that he's been better than that? Amen. How many can say he's been sweeter?
Sweeter.
I heard the songwriter say that every day with Jesus is what? Sweeter than the day before. And every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Amen. Truly, we just thank God this evening. Amen. For God going beyond everything that we can imagine. Amen. Whatever we can picture of God, God can exceed that. Amen. Man may fail, but God never. Man may fail, but God never fails. Amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from verses 1, and we will conclude by reading verse 8 together. Amen. Amen. Verses 1 through 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Amen. You know, actually, I prepared three different messages in one day. Amen. And I was running about my wife, and she said, yeah, that's good. Yep, that's good to me. Amen. But then I woke up yesterday, and the Lord just spoke this one to me. I said, okay, then I'll get those others on the back burner. Amen. But we're going to deal with this tonight. And I think it deals a lot with our lives. Amen. How many know that sometimes when you've been saved for a long period of time, you begin to take God for granted? Amen. Amen. We used to sing the song, Lord, take me back to where I first believed. Lord, take me back to where I first received you. Amen. That was a time when there was a prayer meeting and I couldn't wait to get to church to pray. Amen. That was a time when the door, church door was open and I couldn't wait to get there. That was a time when we got testimony and I didn't have to wait for anybody to explain, hallelujah, what it was all about, but I was up to testify for God. So I said, Lord, take me back, amen, to where I first believed you, take me back to where I first received. Verse 1 reads, and it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail, because let us pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you tonight. Lord, we bless your name. And Lord, we thank you because this evening we can truly say, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, tonight, Lord, we don't know where we would be. Now, Lord, we simply ask you to speak to us through thy word.
Lord, you know every need that exists in the congregation. Lord, you know the mind, hallelujah, that needs to be touched. Lord, you know the hearts that need to be encouraged. Lord, you know those even there that are on the brink of major decisions. We may ask, may you send the word of God to heal. May you send your word to deliver. Lord, most of all, may you send your word to set free. And these blessings we're going to claim, can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. When you read this account in David's life, you can assume David had some trouble. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You can assume that David had some trouble. Amen. Somebody said, troubles in my
way.
Amen. As long as we're alive on earth. Amen. Paul said, we shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. It is amazing how so often in the church, when trouble comes, we get so discouraged and so dismayed. Amen. It is all right to get a little discouraged, but it's concerned when it's a temptation to turn back. Amen. Remember the scripture said, remember Lot's
wife.
Remember Lot's wife. Amen. When God was delivering them, how many have been delivered? Come on. How many have been delivered? How many have been set free? Hallelujah. The Lord said, now, when I'm taking you out of your trouble, when I'm delivering you from the mess, don't look back. Amen. So God is taking us to the next level, spiritually. And he tells us, don't look back. It's alarming how so many in church, amen, are allowing their trials to get them inadvertently, it's not something that we do intentionally, getting us inadvertently to doubt God and to question his very sovereignty. Well, David, amen, had gotten to a point in his life where he was living on auto salvation. Amen. Auto salvation. Amen. I said, what in the world is auto salvation? Anybody ever flew in a plane? After the pilot get up so high, they turn it on what? Autopilot. And then while they're on autopilot, they'd be sleeping, they'd be just, you know, they just are so hard focused that they don't realize what's taking place because they don't have to worry about it because the plane is now selling it, flying itself. Well, auto salvation is sometimes we fall asleep along the way. Sometimes we're not as alert as we are. And then NSA has sent out a report to the pilots. Turn off that autopilot. Amen. It said most of you pilots, your skills for flying planes are declining and degrading because you depend too much on autopilot. And your manual skills are deteriorating. Well, when we talk about auto salvation, amen, some of the things that we used to do, we just don't do them anymore. Amen. The prayers, hallelujah. Seeking God's face. Seeking God for direction. We just don't do that. Because now we are on auto salvation. And in auto salvation, we just let things go as they please. Amen. We put no thought into what God is doing, the things that are taking place around us. Just like the pilot is on autopilot. As a matter of fact, they did one account of a pilot was on so much on autopilot that one of the stewardess had to go in and try and straighten out the plane. Amen. That's just too much autopilot. That's why I don't fly too much either. I like to stay in my pilot. Amen. But auto salvation, and we're going to go through David just to explain it a little further, is when you begin to take God for granted. Amen. We don't pray like we used to pray. Amen. I know when I got saved and I worked a secular job, my lunch break, I didn't worry about eating, not fed myself the word of God.
Right.
Amen. Every moment I got the opportunity, I consumed God's word. Amen. And I was a voracious eater. Amen. But not for food. Matter of fact, when I first got saved, I lost so much weight. I don't know if my wife remembers. My mother said, boy, you need to eat. You look like one of them old racehorses. You lost so much weight. Amen. I just was consumed. All right, now don't judge me. I know I look like a race horse. Now, I'm not telling you all this to try and judge me for where I'm at now. Amen. Well, we tell you not a race horse anymore. Amen. But I was consumed with God and His Word. Amen. Every time the church was open, I was there. Wherever they had prayer meetings. Back then, we used to pray all in the houses. Amen. We were college students, and we would get together in the rooms and pray. We just prayed all the time. Amen. Always reading God's Word. We were consumed with trying to be saved and trying to do the right thing. Amen. How many of us can remember how it was when we first got saved? I'm not talking about those that have been through the storms. I'm not talking about those that have been weather beaten by trials. I'm talking about the joy of our salvation when we first got saved. It's no wonder David, amen, when he had drifted so far from God, amen, and he realized it was only because of God's mercies and His kindness and His love. David said, Lord, when I look at where I am and look at where I used to be, anybody look at where you are and where you, can we say used to be?
Used to be, come on.
David, when he looked at where he was in God and he realized how low he'd fallen, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what he said? Not my salvation, because sin is so important. Lord, but the salvation that comes from you. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, Lord, then uphold me with your free spirit. Hallelujah. You know what he was saying? Lord, I've drifted so far away from you. Well, this is David, amen, when he was fleeing from Saul. Saul had sought so many times to kill David, and David said, the only way that I'm going to be safe is I got to go with the enemies of the Lord. Amen. That's a dangerous place to be. To be saved, I had to go with the enemies of the Lord because Saul was constantly seeking to kill him. Amen. So he fled to the land of the Philistines. But that wasn't so bad that he fled to the land of the Philistines, even though that may not have been God's perfect will for him, because God had already promised David that he anointed him to be king and that he was going to establish his throne. So if God had promised him that, he delivered him from the greatest trial, which was Goliath. I believe God could have delivered him even if he had stayed in Israel with Saul. But David got frustrated. Amen. Anybody get a little frustrated? Amen. Tired of waiting on God and wondering, when is God going to do what he's... And David said, I was 18 years old, and God's Samuel came to my father's house, or 17, somewhere in those young age, and he anointed me and said I was going to be king. All these years have gone by, and look, I'm still not the king. Amen. And instead of me being king, the king keeps trying to kill me. He fled from him one time, and Saul pursued him, he fled again. So David got to the point, he said, you know what? As long as I'm in Israel, I'm going to have to fight with Saul. So when he fled to the land of the Philistines, the scripture said, Saul no longer sought after David. Amen. But something happened to David in the process. And before we go to 30, can we go to 1 Samuel chapter 23 quickly? We're going to show you what happens when you go on all of salvation. Amen. All of salvation, I heard somebody say, I don't pray like you used to pray. You know how you used to pray. Amen. The Bible said we ought to examine our what? Selves. We ought to do what? Judge ourselves. You know if you pray like you used to pray. Amen. We know we make a whole lot of excuses for why we don't pray. Amen. But you know within your heart, deep down, you know that there are times that you can pray, but you put other things in the way. Say, I don't pray like I used to pray. I don't fast like I used to fast. You know, I got all these mental conditions. Amen. I mean, if you fast with wisdom, God can keep you still. Amen. Maybe you can't fast like everybody else, but still there should be some type of fast that we all can do. So we don't pray like we used to pray. We don't fast like we used to fast. We don't read our Bibles like we used to read our Bibles. We don't even witness like we used to witness. Why? Because now we're on all those salvation. Amen. And all those salvation is, Lord, you just let it go in, please. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1 said, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore David did what? He still was not, this time he's not on all those salvation. So his dependency is still on who? God. Amen. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David. Now this verse, even though that's more, is very important. Because from verse chapter 23 to chapter 30, David no longer inquired of God. Amen. David stopped asking God for direction. David went on auto salvation. And in auto salvation, we don't ask God for direction. Amen. We use our experiences to direct us. So we don't ask God for his will anymore. So this, in this chapter 23, I believe up to verse 10 or so, is the last time, or verse 8, is the last time that David inquires of God and then God answers him. Now from verse 23, chapter 23, all the way up to chapter 30, David performed some mighty works. He has some mighty victories. But no way in those next seven chapters does he acknowledge God. No longer does he ask God, what will you have me to do? But at this time in David's life, he's now on auto salvation. Amen. And because he's on auto salvation, in chapter 29, David goes to fight against his own people, Israel. Amen. Because he's being governed now by his own mind. Amen. So what God does, a lot of times when we start going too far away, God sends us a wake-up call. God sends us an attention getter, not to overthrow us, but to bring us back to where we first believed. So in chapter 29, David joins with Achish, and Achish has given him the land of Ziklag. And they're going to fight against Saul and the children of Israel. Amen. How many know that God knows how to stop you when your heart is running? Yes. And we know that David was a what? Man after God. I don't care how far you go wrong. I don't care how misdirected you are. When your heart is right, God knows how to get your attention. Amen. It's not anybody else. When your heart is right, God knows how to get your attention. Then if God gives your attention, he will redirect your misdirected ways. At this time, David is going to fight against Israel. And the lords of the Philistines, this is in chapter 29, tells King Achish, he said, what are these Hebrews? Amen. Nobody had to tell them who they were because they had their own distinction, their own character. They knew that they were not one of them. So the lords of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing fighting with us against the Hebrews? He said, send them back. He said, what better way will it be for David to gain favor with King Saul than in the middle of a battle he will turn on us? So he said, send him back. And when Achish went to talk to David, David said, wait a minute, what fault are you following me? He said, I've been with you all these years. And he didn't say months, but all these years, David was on auto salvation. Because David was no longer listening to hear the voice of God. Tonight, I wonder if we would search ourselves. Amen. If we would discern our own lives. Are we still trying to hear the voice of God? Are we on auto salvation? We just doing it because we've always done it and it seems to be right. How many know the scripture says there's a way to what? Seemeth right unto a, there's a way that seemeth right unto the man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. So everything that seems right. Hallelujah. It's not always right. Amen. So it seemed right. And David said, well, I haven't done it. He said, you haven't found fault with me all these years that I've been in your presence. And he said, I cannot go against those thorns. They are bigger than me. He said, you got to go back. Amen. So then that brings us up to chapter 30. So from chapter 23 to chapter 30, David, through the years, is no longer inquiring of God. He's not asking God for direction because he keeps getting victory after victory. So I've done it this way for so long, so guess what? I'm going to do it this way. That's not always God's way. Amen. That's not always the direction that God wants you to go. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we learn to acknowledge the Lord in some of our ways. Come on, y'all can preach, man. We need to acknowledge the Lord in what? Now stop right there before we get to David. How many times are we acknowledging God? Do we just, almost salvation, we just kick it in the gear. Amen. I'm going to do this because this is what I want to do. Amen. I thank God for Jesus. He said, I do always the things that please. Now, if we were to search ourselves tonight, hallelujah. Do we do the things that please God, or are we so set on pleasing ourselves? Amen. Do we do the things that please God, or are we set on pleasing ourselves? So David is on all salvation, and he's sending back. So now that brings us up to chapter 30 and verse 1. It said, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. Now, 3 days they've been walking back to their country, back to their city. Amen. Expecting to see their children. You know how it is when anybody go on a trip, you've been away for a while, you'd be so excited to get back to see your husband, your wife, your children. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all don't leave me. I feel like I'm out on an island. I'm about to start jumping around playing some greater than that, better than that, sweeter than that, more than one. No. Amen. But when you get ready to go home, you're excited that you're going to be back in your own bed. Amen. So they, 3 days, in a day they could walk 25 miles. So after 3 days, 75 miles, in great anticipation of being back home with the family. Amen. Said after 3 days that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and split Ziklag and burned it. Then they on their way back to the city. And all they can see is more smoke coming up. They know this is not, this ain't a campfire. Amen. They're not barbecuing a pig. Not barbecuing some chicken. They see the smoke ascending. Amen. So all of that, there's an alarm that goes off in them because there has to be a problem. Amen. Verse 2. And they're taking the women captive that were therein, they slew not any either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came. Can you imagine the devastation? It's like you leave to go home, go to work, and then you come home later and your house is no longer there. Imagine the devastation. Amen. When they came, they found it was burnt with fire and their children and everything they had was gone. The city was leveled. There was nothing there. Amen. Well, what had happened? All of salvation. They had led, all of salvation had led them away and they didn't even leave protection for their own loved ones. That's why we have to make sure, brothers and sisters, that when we do something, that we acknowledge God so that God will have our back. Amen. So they went on their way, but they left nobody. David had 600 men, but he was so comfortable that he took all 600 of his fighting men with him and left no one to protect the city. That's what happened when we go on to salvation. We begin to take God for granted. Oh, I don't have to worry about that. That's all right. Amen. And the very thing that you take for granted is what the adversary will attack. Amen. The very thing that you leave unprotected the adversary will move right in and attack it. So they come back and nothing's there. The city is leveled and all of their loved ones are gone. Amen. Verse 3. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and they wept. Amen. All of salvation can cause you some unnecessary grief and pain. I would imagine that if David had asked God before he wrote King Achish, Lord, do you want me to go? God would have told him, no, David, I want you to stay. Because it's not like God to have his people fighting against his people. Galatians talk about fighting and devouring one another. That's not God's way. So God would not have encouraged David to go fight against his own people. Amen. But David is now an oral salvation. David has began so many victories that he's taken God for granted. That the direction, the way I need to go, the way I need to move, the things I need to say and do, I just do it because I've been doing this for so long. All these years I've got all these victories. If David had stopped and just acknowledged God, I'm sure God would not have told him to go. Well, how many know that God is still good in him? God is still good. Hallelujah. He said they were so devastated, they lifted up their voices and they wept to their hand. Listen, these are some mighty men. We read about it during our anniversary, the breakthrough, how they break through against. These are some mighty men. They could fight. Amen. They weren't like us. They said one of them killed 800. These were mighty men. But devastation would bring down the mightiest of men. They wept till they had no more power. Now some of you have been having some pride and weeping. Amen. Some of us, Paul Warren said, I cried out last year. Well, I don't have anymore. Amen. Some of us cried out last year yesterday because we are not acknowledging God. And we're dealing with hardships, hurts, and pains that we could have avoided if we would have just acknowledged God and asked him, Lord, you direct my path. Because the steps of a what kind of man? The steps of a what kind of man? And woman of what? Are by the Lord. How can you be good? How can you be in God's will? God order our steps. We need God to order our steps. Amen. So they had no more power to weep, and they said, David, two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. You know, do some, even though I'm not going to, look up Abigail's name, amen. Abigail's name means father's joy. It's amazing. Abigail, that David married, was his sister named Abigail. Amen. And Ahinoam, who I believe Ahinoam, I forgot what that means. Oh, it means my brother is something. My brother is something. He had his aunt's name was Ahinoam. Amen. It's amazing how you like to keep it all in the family, right? Amen. But you know, that's a spiritual significant. So my ministry and my elders. That's y'all's homework. Amen? Yeah, y'all can figure that out. I'm not going to do it all for y'all. Y'all can do some homework too, amen? But Ahinoam and Abigail were taken. Amen? The next verse reads, and David was... Did David have to be in this distress? His distress came as a result of what? Not acknowledging God. Because he was on what? Auto salvation. Auto salvation. Hallelujah. As with the law, with the pilots and on all the pilots, your spiritual skills begin to decline. They begin to degrade. Amen. You no longer can discern the voice of God from the voice of the enemy. You can never no longer see the direction God would have you to go for being confused by the enemy. Why? Because you have not, you've lost some of your spiritual skills, the discernment, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. Those gifts are no longer operating because we've been taking God so much for granted and just letting things go. So now David is in a point of what? Distress. Amen. Distress. Amen. Now, how many times have we ever read prior to this of David being in distress? Because all along, David's dependency was always on God. But these years of taking it for granted now brings distress on David. I wonder if anyone here tonight is in distress. If you are, then let's go back to where we first believed. It's time to go back to where we first received God. The danger of God's mercy and salvation is we begin to take God for granted. Amen. We begin just to assume that because God is merciful, loving, and kind, we can give God anything. Amen. So what we used to do, we don't do it anymore. Amen. The prayer, you know, prayer is so important. Let me tell you how important prayer is. When Jesus knew that his hour, his greatest test, his not his only test, but his greatest test was before him. He separated his disciples and he took them into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, you know what? I'm about to go through one of the greatest tests in my life. And you're going to be tempted as well. So he said, I want you to do what? Watch and pray. Amen. And then when the stones cast away, they began to pray. And when he came back, he found them on all those salvation. They were what? That's what all those salvation will do. It will put you to sleep. You won't be alert. You won't be vigilant. You won't be watchful. And you won't see that the adversary of the devil is walking around like a roaring lion seeking that he may devour you, because you are what? Asleep. And the Lord wakes him up and he said, could not you watch with me?
One hour.
And he went and prayed again. Amen. And he came back and found them what? Almost salvation again. Just taking it for granted. We don't have to worry about anything. Anytime something goes wrong, we got the Lord. He always steps in for us. And the Bible said when Jesus went back the third time, he prayed so fervently till his sweat turned into great drops of blood, giving them an example of the anguish, the agony that we have to sometimes employ in prayer to get the victory. Then he came back, he said, sleep on, for the hour of testing has come and you're not prepared. Amen. And as a result, when the enemy came, instead of them depending on the spiritual strength of God, they pulled out the swords and started fighting what? A carnal battle. Jesus had put up the sword. Amen. Matter of fact, he performed a miracle because old Peter, who's always so fast, cut off the servant of the high priest here, whose name was Magdalene. Come on, you got to get it. Start from here. Yeah, I'm okay. Don't give us a homework. Find out his name. No, his name was Malchus. Cut off Malchus here. But God performed. This is what happened when you're so incensed in your own way and will. Now they cut off his ear. The Lord said, now put the sword back in the sheath. And he picked up the ear and put it back on. Can you imagine the miracle? But when you're so set on doing what you want to do, you won't see even the miracle of God. Because you're on auto salvation. Amen. That should have been enough. Everybody should. And already when they came to Jesus, they came to him and he said, now who do you seek?
Yes, sir.
Who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I am. All right, mercy. He said, when he said, I am. With all these mighty works of God, they still could not see. Amen. What God was doing. But David, back to David, he's in distress because of all of salvation. All of salvation will cause you to be led by your natural mind and your carnal mind. And the Bible says the natural mind or the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. The carnal mind, which is really the unregenerated or the unsaved mind, is enmity against God. Well, when you get on altar salvation and you're not praying like you used to pray, and you don't fast and read the Bible like you used to fast, you're either going to have a spiritual mind or you're going to have a carnal mind. There's no mind in between. And then we don't pray, we don't fast, we don't read our Bible, and there are times when we can come to church, and we don't ever, you know, there are times where we can, there's times I can't come to church, but I'll be in church. Amen. Well, I go, I find church. I find church on the internet or something. Lord, I want to always be counted. I want God to count me faithful. So I'm going to find a church. If I go to Africa, amen, if I got my cell phone, I'm going to try to find a church. I might spend all night crying, but God will know my heart. I'm trying to find it. Amen. There's some nights when we don't have church, I'll be on the internet looking for services. You know why? Because that word I esteem more than my necessary food. But we've gotten to the point where church, God, is secondary to our own personal things that we want in our life. And we want all those salvation. Even if God was trying to get our attention, even if he has performed miracles in our midst, we still can't see God for doing what we want to do. How many of us have missed out on the mind of God? In distress. Unnecessary. Well, this is David, all of salvation. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved. Well, why were they grieved? Could it have been avoided? I would say yes. Amen. Every man for his son and for his daughters. But David, Lord, no matter how bad it gets, I'll still be looking up to you. The Bible said, but David did what? Encouraged himself. In the Lord. Hey man, I don't know what you might be experiencing tonight, and I don't know what distress, what pains, what grief. But it's time to get back in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, between 23 and 30, we don't hear too much about God. Lord, but when he gets in trouble, he knows where to go. How many know where to go when you're in real trouble? Yes, yes, yes. Amen. I said, how many know where to go when you're in trouble? Hallelujah. Lord, I don't know who to turn to, but I know where my help cometh from. And my help cometh from the Lord. Amen. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. Next verse. And David said, you know what? I know the problem. You know why I'm in this, why me and my men are in this present position and condition? We've stopped. So when he encouraged himself in the Lord, he now goes and seeks God's direction for his life. Yes, I make mistakes. Yes, I'm going the right way. Now when I get back in God, I'm going to get in and do it all the way right. Amen. So David said, now I know the error of my ways. So he's called for Eleazar the priest, Ahimelech's son, and said, I pray thee. Things are bad right now. I need help, hallelujah, and I know where my help coming from. Anybody know where your help coming from? My help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I can't do anything without. I need the Lord to move my circumstance. David said, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. Bring me the presence of God. Bring me some help from God. Yes. No one may help coming from. Yes. Can the church say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. And Eleazar brought thither the ephod to David. And David goes off on those salvation. Can we say go off?
Go off.
On salvation. It's time to turn it off. It's time to get back real with God. It's time to have God take You know, some of our lives, God has part control. How many want God to have full control? Where he leads me? Amen. Not just some of the way, Lord, but I go all the way. It's time at this stage in our lives to let God have full control. Amen. You know, even a lot of these ships that are crashing and you know, having all these problems, even the iceberg would not have crashed if they had not had someone that didn't know what they were doing at the helm. Because the pilot or the captain wasn't in charge. It's a danger. Always will wind up in disaster. Unnecessary grief. Unnecessary hardships. Unnecessary headache. Why? We didn't let Jesus be our pilot. We didn't let him on our steps. We stopped letting him direct our path. David realized, I've been wrong. He said, I pray that you bring me the ephod. Amen. And David inquired the Lord, saying, can you imagine from verse chapter 23 to chapter 30? This is the first time, and these are years that go by now. Even though the chapters are short, the time is not short. These are years that go by. David has built cities, he's conquered cities, he's done this, he's fought, he's deceived Achish, and went out and destroyed Philistine cities, and told Achish all down in Judah, burning them. So David has been doing all this. These are years of him doing what he wants to do. But now David realized, the error that I made is I left God out. When you're in auto salvation, you leave God out. We make too many decisions in auto salvation without acknowledging God. He said, shall I pursue after this truth? You know, at this stage, I lost everything. Now you would think David would have said, what? Somebody had a nerve to come into my city? They would have said, get your swords, get your weapons, let's go. But not this time. Because David realized, I've been doing too much my own way. So David says to him, shall I pursue after this truth? Amen. Thank God that you are broken and a contrite heart. God will not despise. When we are broken before God, amen, we have emptied ourselves out. The reason that we don't have some of our blessings and some of our deliverances, some of us have not yet emptied ourselves out. Still too much of us and not enough of God. I like John the Baptist. Amen. And I think this is the mindset that the church needs to employ or to develop. John, in the waning days of his ministry, realized, he said, the Lord must, come on, the Lord must, and I must. That's the greatest lesson that any of us can learn. In our waning years, at the end of the line, Lord, it's time for me to decrease, and it's time for you. David realized, I can do it like I always and just take off. He said, but now I must increase. And to increase, I need to go to God. He says, shall I pursue after this truth? Amen. Now, how many know David wasn't no coward? David wasn't no average man. When David wanted to do something, David did it. But now he's broken. Anybody need to be broken tonight? You know what? God, I ask God every day to break me. Amen. I don't care how high I could get, because I'm not high. I always want to be humble before God. And my prayer is always, God, break me. Lord, keep me humble. Whatever God be accomplishes, Lord, whatever we are or ever hope to be, we owe it all to God. I never want us to get to the point where we say, well, I. When you do I, read Isaiah chapter 14. Verses 1 through 12 about Lucifer. That I will mess you up. God don't see I. Amen. Because your eyes are robbing you of God. So David gets to this point, he says, shall I pursue? Lord, I know I've been doing it all these many years my own way, but I want to get it right. Anybody want to get it right? Amen. Come on, can I get a wave off? You want to do it right?
Amen.
Now it's time to ask God for direction. It's time to ask God to show me what you have me to do. So David says, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And God sent them back the answer. He said, what?
Pursue,
for thou shalt.
Sure.
He said, pursue, for thou shalt. Hey, can we all read this together? Who needs victory?
Yes.
Amen. You know, when you're pursuing after something, you cannot retreat.
Amen.
How many know you can't pursue and retreat at the same time?
Amen.
Well, the devil has too many of us retreating. So what God is saying, that it's time to what? Pursue and recover all. Amen. To pursue means you're dependent on God. Amen. You've turned off the auto salvation. Amen. You've opened back up to God. And you said that, Lord, you're in control. And Lord, if you tell me to turn to the right, I turn to the right. If you tell me to go to the left, I go to the left. And if you tell me like the children of Israel, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be still. Lord, just speak. Lord, show me the direction that you have me to go. He said, pursue and overtake, and without fail, you're going to recover, as we said. There's some things that we need to recover. And the greatest recovery that any of us needs to make is our soul salvation. Amen. We ought to judge ourselves tonight. You know, every day people are dying and going on either to be with the Lord or be without the Lord. Tonight, if we were to examine ourselves, where would we be? Tonight, if we were to search and try ourselves, try our range. You know, our Brother McNeely preached that message, the trophy of the hell. And as he preached the trophy, he said, down in the slave room of hell, when he lifts the trophies that he's got as the ministers and elders come forward, when he lists the trophies, do you know on the East trophy they always list the lure or whatever they use to catch them? Search yourselves tonight. I'm never going to picture myself in hell, but my whole purpose, I'm going to heaven. Amen. But you can flirt with the thought just to keep yourself in line. Is that anything that he can put under your plank? Will it be a man? Will it be a woman? Will it be a job? Will it be advice? Will it be a friend? Will he be able to put anything under your plank tonight as the lure that I've used to keep this brother or sister from being what God wants them to be? Will he be able to list idleness? Will he be able to list laziness? Will he be able to list television? Will he be able to list the internet? Will he be able to list anything that is hindering your walk with God? You know, and God knows. Salvation is real. How many know salvation is real? You can fool everybody else. Hallelujah. Cannot fool God. That's why Jesus said, don't fear man, because man can only kill the body. But we ought to fear him that's able to kill both the body and soul where? In hell. Tonight, we need to make our calling and our elections. Anybody want to make sure they're going to heaven? Search yourself, brothers and sisters, right now. Search yourself. If there's a slightest thing that might be in the way, hallelujah, it's time to present ourselves.